Hello, welcome to episode one of Topics in Endurance Sports. Because there are not enough endurance podcasts, I am your host, Tim. You can find more information about me at my website at runsmith.net. That's not .com, that's .net, runsmith.net. Today's topics will include an introduction to the show, a little bit about the Western States 100-mile run, and other endurance podcasts that I listen to. So as I said, my name is Tim. I currently am residing in Ohio. I'm a middle-aged guy. Kind of depends on how old you are. I'm either middle-aged or I'm rather old. I am a middle-of-the-pack to the back-of-the-pack runner. Kind of depends on what race I'm in. Once in a while, I can get towards the top of my age group. Often I'm at the bottom of my age group or the bottom of the whole field. I began running about 15 years ago. Began again, I should say. I ran as a kid and a little bit in high school, junior high and high school, and then did not run for a long time. I did some powerlifting, was the sport I was doing in my late teens, 20s, and 30s. And then when I was about 40, something around there, I decided I should do a little bit more cardio, so I started hitting the roads with a little bit of running and progressed like a lot of people do, from shorter runs to longer runs, did some marathons, and eventually found the trails, and I found myself running on the trails more and more, and I've done races all the way up to 100 miles. Now, that's a lot of miles, but again, I was at the back of the pack in those races. I have also taken up triathlon. I really cannot swim and bike with a darn, but they're great cross training. I really enjoy doing them, and they give my running legs a break in the summer. So I've been doing triathlons for maybe almost a decade now, and I have been able to get up to the Ironman distance in triathlons slowly, but I do manage to finish them. And along the way, I've done even a few bike races, usually, well, always, just as training, because, again, I'm at the back of the pack in cycling, but they're fun to do. And I've done a few of these bike tours where you just do a destination ride over one or two or 3 days or something like that. I was born in the Midwest. Like I said, I'm in Ohio now, but I was born in the Midwest, born in Iowa. And I have moved around. I've lived in California. I lived in Switzerland for a couple of years. I lived in Georgia, Oklahoma, Indiana, back in Iowa, and now in Ohio. So I've seen a bit of the world, I guess. I've been in the West, the South, the Midwest, not the Northeast or the Northwest. I've never lived in those places, but I'm now pretty much in the East, I would say. Depends on how you define Ohio. And I've lived out of the country as well, so I have been around a little bit. By profession, I am a chemist. I graduated from the University of Iowa in Iowa City and the University of California in Berkeley. I have taught at universities. I have also worked in the chemistry profession. My specialty is synthetic organic chemistry. I'm now not doing that, other than I'm trying to do some chemistry consulting gigs. I've done one so far. I would like to do more. So if you know someone who needs a chemistry consultant, send them my way. I've transitioned to trying to become a running coach, and I do have some clients. And again, you can find more about that on runsmith.net. I have coached high school cross country for 1 year. That was a blast, and I'm hoping to get to do it some more, but we'll see about that. I'm not sure. Okay, so what is this podcast about? Little introduction. I'm purposely going to leave this a little bit vague, so I'm not locked into doing any one type of thing in the future. I've got all types of topics in mind and types of shows I could do. But it could be anything at all I find it interesting that has to do with endurance. Running, triathlon, obviously, but I don't care what it is. It could be endurance ping pong. It could be backpacking. Okay, that's something I've gotten a little bit interested in, although I've not really bought all the gear for it, but I would be interested in even talking about backpacking. There's some endurance with that. And I would say this, if you find yourself uninterested in an episode, please check other episode topics. You might find that some are more interesting than others, or that I have over time went in a particular direction that you might like. I will say this, at the moment, for the foreseeable future, expect a lot of running podcasts. It is winter time. Today is January 27th, 2017. So we're in the middle of winter, and in the winter, I pretty much do nothing but run. I do a little swimming just for fun, but competitively, all I'm doing is running for the most part. And so there'll be a lot about that because I will cover some of the races I do, and I tend to use a lot of races for training races. I enjoy doing that, so I will talk about some of those races. So you may have a lot of running here at the beginning, but not exclusively. Some podcasts will apply to any type of endurance. If I talked about nutrition or physiology or something like that, or the science of training, obviously that could go toward any type of training or endurance sport whatsoever. So again, there's a lot of things I could do. I don't really want to rule anything out. Having said that, I wouldn't expect me to be interviewing top athletes. There's a bunch of podcasts that do those already. I do have some thoughts of how I could do some interviews, but I'm not sure that'll ever happen. I'm very shy in person. I don't like asking people to do much of anything. I feel like I'm annoying them. I get embarrassed. So, you know, unless it's someone I know really well, or I'm just in the right mood, I probably will not or not do a lot of interviews. But maybe that will change. I could completely change my mind. You will notice I'm calling this a podcast. However, you might be watching this, because what I'm going to do is just take a video of me recording the podcast, and I'm going to put that video on YouTube. It's absolutely the same thing, the same content. It's just that I know some people prefer to just sit and watch YouTube on their computer rather than play podcasts. They may not even be quite sure how to do a podcast. And so I just figure, what the heck? It doesn't take a lot of extra effort, I hope, to make a YouTube video from this. This is my first shot, so we're going to see. But the content's the same either way. So I'll always be referring this as a podcast. If I were you, I would listen, because I'm not particularly great to look at. I am what I am. And again, you're not getting anything different necessarily from the video. Also, I am not a professional at this. There's going to be ums and weird sounds in the background and improper volume levels and verbal mistakes, at least until I get better at this stuff. I don't plan on editing this. You're going to get the raw. See, there's an right there. You're going to get the raw podcast as it is, unless something crazy happens, like someone walks in or something. I don't plan to edit this. So it is what it is. It's non-professional. I don't have time right now to edit it and all that business. And I don't really know how yet. I don't know how to do it quickly. Let's put it that way. So what else is this podcast about? By bizarre chance, this podcast kind of starts off with a second purpose. There is a race called the Western States 100-mile race. A lot of you know about it. Some of you may not. It is basically the Boston Marathon of 100-mile races. It is arguably one of the top five, if not top three, most prestigious 100-mile races in the world, one of the top two or three in the country. And all the elites want to run Western States. It's in California. It starts in Squaw Valley, a ski resort, and ends in Auburn, which is near Sacramento, and you're running almost exclusively on trails. It's a difficult race, and I will probably be devoting more time to this because I actually got into the race. And like the Boston Marathon, it's extremely difficult to get into the race. And I'll talk about how difficult that is at some point. Suffice it to say, if you do know about Western, I will tell you this, that I got in on one ticket. And if you know about Western States, you're shaking your head at how incredibly lucky that is that that happened. So the point is, I may be kind of documenting the next 6 months about my little journey to Western States and about how afraid I am of all this and excited at the same time and everything else. So we'll see. That may give it kind of a second purpose for the next 6 months, that I can include you into my little journey again to Western States. So that's the first two parts of this podcast. I thought I would also throw in, I said there are a lot of endurance podcasts, and there are. There are tons of endurance podcasts, and even more podcasts kind of relating to endurance, like nutrition podcasts. So I'm just going to listen to a few that I listen to. I listen to lots of podcasts, and these are just some of them, and they're not in any particular order. They're kind of the order they're just listed on my player, which is kind of just random, okay? So I listened to a podcast called The Runner's World Show. That's the Runner's World magazine show. Not bad. They interview people and talk about various recent topics, and that's worth checking out. A relatively new one is called the East Coast Trail and Ultra Podcast, hosted by Ryan Pluckelman and Sean Rumbum Blanton. Sean Blanton puts on races in the Southeast and maybe other places. I think that's the name of his company, Run Bum or something like that. And they do cover the East Coast, which is often ignored in the world of ultra running. Ultra running, if you don't know, is any race over 26.2 miles. And a lot of the elites live out west. A lot of the most prestigious races are out west, like I said, Western States. And so not a whole lot of love given to the East Coast, even though there are fantastic runners and fantastic races. In fact, in some ways, the races are more difficult. The United States is such that out in the East, the trails can be more rocky and rooty and muddy, and it's more humid. So the conditions can be a lot worse in the East than they are in the West. Sometimes, not always. I mean, obviously out west you've got mountains, real, real, real big, big mountains. And the East doesn't have that, even if we do have the Appalachians. We don't quite have the Colorado Rockies or the Sierra Nevada mountains. I will say one thing about this podcast. It's not safe for work. They do a lot of cussing. Doesn't really bother me, but if that bothers you, there you go. I mean, a lot of dirty, dirty cussing. So if that bugs you, you take that into account. Again, they interview people, and it's kind of nice. It's not all elites. It's just regular people sometimes, and sometimes they are very good runners. And they talk about races in the area, mostly quite far east or south. I haven't heard them talk too much about like Wisconsin or Illinois, even though those are east of the Mississippi. It's supposed to be anything east of the Mississippi is what they talk about. Another one I talk about is Running in the Center of the Universe, and this one's also kind of East Coast based. It's a guy named Ashlyn Dave. He lives in Virginia, and his podcast is a little bit like mine. It's just a solo show, and he just talks, which is what mine is mainly going to be, and he talks about his races and his training, and he does interview people, sometimes his friends, and does some other things. It's pretty good, again, for getting a feel for what's happening out east. You do have to put up a little bit of politics. He does like to talk about politics, and sometimes we'll go on rather extensively about it. You're either going to agree with his politics or you're not going to, as it is in this country, right? It's one way or the other for most of us. And so it's a little bit like that for him. But he's a good guy. I like him. Whether I agree with him or not, I like him, and I think he's worth listening to. Another one that's fairly new is the Sage Running Podcast. This is Sage Canada. He's an elite runner, ran in the marathon trials, I think at least twice. A very good runner, wins races, long races, trail races now. And he and his wife, Sandy, have this podcast, and they are coaches themselves. And I like Sage. He kind of goes off on fun little rants sometimes about this or that. And sometimes What I like about him is he's very humble. He'll come out and say, boy, I just had a horrible 2016, which of course to you and me seems like a great 2016, right? But like, he did a couple 100-mile races that didn't go well. His first attempts didn't really go well, and so it feels like he didn't do well. But he's really willing to say, these are the things I did wrong. This is what I need to improve on. I like that in a person when they can say, you know, I'm a screw-up. I screwed things up. I was lazy. I trained stupidly. Again, keep in mind, he's still a fantastic runner. His stupid training is probably better than most of our training. Another podcast, Science of Ultra, which is hosted by Sean Bearden. This is one of my favorite podcasts. And Sean Bearden is everything I wish I were, but I am not. Let me just read a little bit of his biography here. Sean Bearden: I'm a full professor of physiology at Idaho State University. I'm director of the ISU Biomedical Research Institute, and I'm head of our Advanced Imaging Core facility. My BS is in sports medicine from the University of Virginia. I hold an MS in exercise science and health promotion from George Mason University. My PhD is in exercise physiology from Florida State University. And I completed 3 years of postdoctoral fellowship research at the Yale University of Medicine. I co-authored a chapter in the American College of Sports Medicine graduate level textbook on skeletal muscle blood flow control, and have published many peer-reviewed studies. My research in exercise physiology has focused on bioenergetics with an emphasis on gas exchange kinetics, oxygen consumption, carbon dioxide production, and transitions in exercise intensity around physiologic thresholds. With this expertise, I bring a wealth of knowledge to the table because trail running is an extended series of transitions in exercise intensity, and the bioenergetics are what dictate our ability to perform throughout an ultramarathon. The many facets of interest to ultra runners in bioenergetics and physiologic thresholds are the foundations of my career in exercise science. My formal doctoral academic training was in a department of nutrition and exercise, which provided a strong foundation in the hydration and nutrition of sport performance. Sorry that was a little long, but the point is he has an impressive and extensive scientific background related to everything endurance. On top of that, he lives in a cool place, Idaho, in the mountains. On top of that, he's fast. He's a really good runner. He's winning trail races. So the guy's brilliant. He's a genius. I am a Sean Bearden groupie, no doubt. And he has a second podcast called Journey to 100. So Sean has done everything but a 100-mile race. And this podcast has been really cool because I've listened to it from the beginning. He has a coach named John Fitzgerald, and they call and talk to each other every week, and he just records the call. That's all it is. He records the call, and it's fascinating because now I'm cheering Sean on to try to, you know, get his first 100-mile race in, and it's really very interesting. I'm not sure how great it would be to start in the middle of it, so if you start listening, you might want to start from the beginning and binge listen to get them all in, but I really, really, really enjoy it. Great show. Again, partly because Sean is just so smart and interesting, and just some of the things he puts on his blog, too, the Science of Ultra blog, have really made me think. Another one I listen to is a Marathon Training Academy, hosted by Angie and Trevor, a couple, and it's a little more for road running, for people trying to start off to do their first marathon. That's kind of what it's built around. But they have some good interviews. I don't listen to every episode, but I listen to some of them for the interviews, good people. To ultra running, there is one called Ultra Runner Podcast and another one called... Okay, hold on. There's Ultra Runner Podcast, okay? This is hosted by Eric Schrantz, and sometimes they'll have on Sarah Lavender Smith and Ethan Venneklassen. And he will interview elites. This is Morgan based out west now. So he'll interview elites and have different topics and different things. It's one of probably the top podcasts for ultra running. On top of that, you should check out his URP Daily. on ultrarunnerpodcast.com. So you go to ultrarunnerpodcast.com, and he has news every single day. That must be a lot of work that Eric puts into this. So that's definitely, if you're into ultra running, you kind of have to listen to that. There's another one called Trail Runner Nation, and it escapes me now who hosts this, but I think Andy Jones Wilkins, a famous ultra runner, is on it sometimes, and I'm embarrassed. I just can't think of the names off the top of my head. A couple others are often on it, and it's kind of the same idea as Ultra Runner Podcast. They have elites, and they talk a lot about ultra races, and often kind of more focused in the West. But that's another one that you probably want to listen to if you're an ultra runner. Another podcast, Sports Coach Radio, hosted by Glenn Whitney. And he's a little bit kind of like Sean Bearden in that he's really smart, and he will interview people who know a lot about coaching. So it's not always about ultra running. In fact, a decent amount of it is not. But it's about coaching styles and coaching philosophies and coaching psychology and stuff like that. He does have some regular athletes on it as well. Another one, Talk Ultra. Talk Ultra is hosted by Ian Corliss, and he'll often have a guest host that's either his girlfriend, Neandy Carmont, or Carl Meltzer. Now, Ian Corliss and Neandy Carmont are based in Europe, in the UK. Carl Meltzer is a famous ultra runner in the United States. And the nice thing about this podcast, it covers the whole world. So he talks a lot about races in Europe and in Asia, Australia, South Africa, you name it. He'll cover it. Even Costa Rica, there's a race he covers. His gimmick, kind of gimmick, but the thing that makes his podcast stand out besides covering the whole world is that they're very long. They're like 3 hours long sometimes. Very long podcasts. He does sometimes cover the same race every single year. I'm assuming because he's getting paid to, and there is kind of a tendency to think, well, do you need to hear about this race for the fourth year in a row? But nevertheless, it's very good, and you can fast forward if you don't want to hear about that race again. Very well done. Another podcast, Endurance Planet, hosted by Tony Prazak Gibson and Frank Lucho. Frank Lucho is a former fantastic, pretty much elite athlete, placed very high at Ironman World Championships and won a race series called the Lead Man, which is very difficult to win. And they just give coaching advice. They're coaches and they give coaching advice. It's really hit or miss with them, but sometimes they're kind of interesting to listen to. Two more coaches, Magnus and Marcus on Coaching, hosted by Stephen Magnus and John Marcus. Stephen Magnus has written a book called, I think, The Science of Running, I believe. I need to read it. I may have it near me. I can't remember if I have it yet or not, but it's on my list of things to read. And they coach, you know, elite athletes themselves, and they just talk. The two of them talk, and I have to be honest with you, I haven't been able to get into it as much as I should. I keep trying to get into it, and I know there are these great coaches, and it's a lot of kind of philosophy, but I've had a tough time really sticking with it, but there you go. There's one podcast that is now gone. It was called Ultra Finishers. One word, Ultra Finishers, hosted by Scott Johnson. It was great. He would just pick someone who had finished their first ultra, or at least their first ultra of a particular distance, like maybe their first 100K, and he would interview them. And it was great because you not only got information, you know, about the runner, which was interesting, but about the race. He'd cover a particular race, and that was really fascinating. I just thought he did a great job of covering a runner and a particular race, and then, you know, you'd get done and you'd kind of want to do the race because it sounded interesting. Unfortunately, after 88 episodes, he stopped. He said he was just too busy, but you can go back and listen to those, I think. So you might want to check that one out. One other podcast that's not to do with the running, it's called The First 40 Miles, and it's hosted by Heather and Josh Legler. It's about backpacking. So if you're interested in backpacking, it's kind of for beginners. They talk about all types of stuff. I like it. And the last thing I'll mention is on YouTube, this is not a podcast, but on YouTube there is a funny little thing called the Mountain Outpost. I just discovered this. And they're very short little videos that are like news segments, maybe 5 minutes, six, seven, 8 minutes, something like that. And it's hosted by Jam Jam, who is another name for Jameel Curry, who's a good ultra runner, very good ultra runner, and a race director out west, I think maybe in Arizona or something like that. And they're pretty funny. I would go to YouTube and just check Mountain Outpost. That's what it's called, and start watching some of his videos. And he covers the recent news, and he's pretty good at it. Now, you'll notice I don't have any triathlon podcasts, and that's only because I haven't found one that I liked. I would really like to listen to some triathlon podcasts. I can't find one that's any good so far, so I don't know what I'm missing. And I know also there are some other podcasts that people love that I may have listened to once or twice or thrice, but haven't really stuck with. Kind of like the Magnus and Marcus. I'm not really sure why I put that one in here, only because all the rest are ones that I listen to a decent amount. But there's some other ones like that, like Rich Roll. I listened to one and I liked it, but not sticking with it for particular reasons. And a few others that I might have listened to a few episodes, but then kind of didn't like. But there's lots of endurance podcasts. And I want to tell you right now, I will steal from these podcasts. I will steal their ideas. So just because one podcast talked about a particular topic, I may have my own take on that particular topic or want to talk about it as well. I'm not going to plagiarize. I have no desire to just repeat what someone else said. And hopefully I will say, hey, I heard this on this podcast. You know, this is where I heard it from. You should go check it out, and then I will talk about it. There's always a chance that I hear something on a podcast and forget that's where I heard it, and then I will talk about it. That would never be on purpose, but I suppose that could happen. And it'd be pretty hard to plagiarize a whole podcast if I can't even remember where I got it from. Okay, so that's pretty much it for the show, except for a couple other little things. I had something happen to me the other day, and it happens to me quite often, and I'm kind of wondering if it happens to you, all right? So has this ever happened to you when you go to a running store, all right? So I recently wanted to go check out some shoes, and the distance to the store was about 30 miles to get there through a lot of traffic. I had to go down into Cincinnati is where I had to go down into. A lot of traffic to get down into there, and I'll tell you why I went there in this. And I'm going to read to you something I wrote right when I got home. So this is kind of word for word what happened. This isn't historical fiction or something. This is as close to its transcript as I could get, okay? I'm just curious if how many of you have had this same experience. So anyway, oh, by the way, it was also raining, so I had to drive this 30 miles in rain and traffic and, you know, the point is I had a little effort to get there. So I go into the store. I get my foot maybe halfway in the door, and there's already a guy, what can I get for you? Okay, that's the first thing that happened. The door is barely open. What can I get for you? Hi, I say. I'm just looking around. I'll let you know. This is kind of a lie, but I like to just browse a little bit at first when I come into a store rather than just right off say what I want. I just like to get a little space. That's the way I am. So he follows me, and he says, what do you wear now? I say, I wear a lot of shoes. I alternate through them, which is totally true. And then he says, which do you wear daily? Which is confusing. I just told him I alternate through shoes. And I said, no particular shoe. I alternate through a bunch of them. He asks me a version of this like two more times. He keeps wanting to know, what shoe do you wear every day? I keep saying, I don't wear a particular shoe every day. I rotate through shoes depending on, you know, where I'm running, how far I'm running, and so forth and so on. So I'm looking at the shoes now. I've wandered over there, and I grab a Hoka shoe. That's a brand, Hoka brand shoe, and I kind of mutter to myself, oh, which one is this? Now, this is a mistake because now the guy knows that I really need him, right? But you can't help it. You feel like you've got to entertain these shoe salesman people, these running shoe salesman people, because they're like hovering over you and they want your attention so bad. And so right when I say it, I look in the tongue of the shoe and I see which one it is. And of course, he responds, oh, you caught me off guard. I'm like, what do you mean I caught you off guard? So he grabs the shoe and he looks in the tongue and he tells me which one it is. So the guy didn't even know what shoe is right on his own shelf. He tells me which one it is, and it's not the one I wanted. I'm looking for the Challenger ATR 3. That's the shoe I'm actually looking for. It's a type of shoe. And I find the Challenger ATR 2, the version 2. So I say to him, do you have the ATR 3? And he says, well, I don't know. And I said, and this is why I went to the store, I said, well, I messaged the store on Facebook and asked them, and they said they had the ATR 3. They said they had this shoe. And he said, oh, well, let me check in back. So he goes in the back, and I hear him talking to some guy, and he pops out, and he says, who told you? I said, I don't know. I Facebook messaged the store, and they said they had this shoe. And then he goes, well, let me call the other store. So he calls, and I'm looking at shoes, and he just disappears for a while. Eventually, he walks out holding the ATR version number 1, the first version. And he goes, these are on sale for $75. I said, well, I wanted the 3 because I read that they're wider. So those of you who wear Hoka shoes, you know they have a reputation for being very narrow, and I have very wide feet. And I had read the ATR 3s were wider, and that's why I wanted the ATR 3. I don't want the 1 or the 2. And anyway, I said, I said, I wanted a 3 because they're wider. And I said, I have wide feet and issues with the narrowness of Hokas. And I've read good things about the ATR 3. So I told him, I said, why don't you bring me out the ATR 2 so I can at least see how they feel? Because I haven't had this shoe at all. And somewhere in there, he finally mentions that they don't have the 3, which I already figured out. And then he says, well, we get them before anyone else does. Okay, I don't know what to do with that information. So in response for his request, and he asks him, what's your shoe size? And I say, well, let's try size 11. Well, he notices my little hesitation there. And he goes, I'll measure your feet. And he's grabbing the little feet measure device. And I said, no, it's not really a matter of foot length or size. It's that I have to sometimes go to an oversized Hoka to get a shoe that's wide enough. Later on, he's gonna repeat what I just said as though it's his idea. Hey, you should wear an oversized shoe because then it'll be wide enough. Anyway, he brings the 11, which is what I asked for. And 2 times more, he wants to measure my feet. He keeps wanting to measure my feet as though I've not, put running shoes on 1,000 times. And I say, I just want to see how wide these are. And I'm sitting there, and he goes, stand up. I want to see how wide your feet are. So I kind of roll my eyes, and I stand up, and he looks at my feet because I have my shoes off. And he goes, yeah, they flare out. Or he said something like that. I can't remember the exact words. I'm like, okay, thank you for letting me know that what my shoes are like. So I try on the shoes, and I make a number of complimentary statements because now I feel like I really need to please this guy, right? I've got to say these really nice things. And actually, they do feel nice. I do like the shoe, and I'm thinking they're already almost wide enough. So I'm really curious about what the 3s are going to feel like because these aren't too bad. Anyway, at some point during this, I mentioned I wear Hoka Stinsons, which is another shoe. And at some point, he walks out with $75 Stinsons. Hey, here's an old version of the Stinsons. You should buy these. I'm like, no, I don't need them. I actually have a 2 pair right now, so I have a backup pair as it is. But anyway, I say, I act interested, but I wasn't really, but I didn't buy them. So I tell him, I say, well, when the 3s are here, when the ATR 3s are here, I'll come back and try them on. So he's all bummed I'm not going to buy shoes. But you think he would say, hey, give me your email address and I'll send you an email when the shoes come in. But that he doesn't seem to think of that. So I'm pretty much done. But I felt compelled to make him happy. So I bought some honey stringer waffles and a few gels. And I drove back home 30 miles in the rain and traffic. So here's what's funny is I went back and I looked at the Facebook message, and this is exactly what was sent. I said, hi, do you carry the Hoka Challenger ATR 3 or the Hoka Clayton? I was also interested in the Clayton. Their response was, hi, Tim. Yes, we sell both the Challenger, my favorite trail shoe, and the Clayton. We're actually the largest Hoka dealing, he said dealing instead of dealer, in Cincy. Swing by anytime. All right, so that's what he said. So here's the kicker to all this. It turns out I did follow up this question with, oh, just double checking. The Challenger ATR is the version 3. Is that in stock yet? Yeah, guess what? I went to the store without waiting for a reply, and he had never replied. So he did see the question, but he didn't reply, and he let me just come down to the store rather than reply. So anyway, that's my story. I'm just curious as that type of thing happens to you with these running stores. I love running stores and I love the people there, but some of these running shoe salesmen, the bottom line is they're salespeople. They are still salespeople, even if they're the type of salespeople we might love. So anyway, I get that type of thing a lot from these running stores. Let's see. One other thing. I came across this, and I just thought this might be kind of important. This has nothing whatsoever to do with running at all, but I just read about this. And, you know, these days with our issues with terrorism and stuff like that, I know that's a very touchy subject. But I just thought this is something you should all know. I found this kind of buried on a website somewhere, and I'm a little worried about it. Even though it did happen back in 2013, I think it's something that it seemed to me it was not revealed to all of us, and this seems very important. So I'm going to just read what I read. A public school teacher was arrested at John F. Kennedy International Airport as he attempted to board a flight while in possession of a ruler, protractor, a compass, a slide rule, and a calculator. Attorney General Eric Holder, remember he was the Attorney General at the time, said he believed the man was a member of the notorious Algebra movement. The man was charged by the FBI with carrying weapons of mass destruction. I blew it. Weapons of mass instruction. Darn it. Anyway, the Attorney General said, algebra is a problem for us. They derive solutions by means and extremes and sometimes go off on tangents in search of absolute values. They use secret code names like X and Y and refer to themselves as unknowns, but we have determined that they belong to a common denominator of the axis of medieval with coordinates in every country. As the Greek philosopher Isosceles used to say, there are three sides to every triangle. When asked to comment on the arrest, President Obama, who was president at the time, said, if God had wanted us to have better weapons of math instruction, he would have given us more fingers and toes. Anyway, there's your little public service announcement for today. Finally, in our segment, the Not This Day in History segment, we have this. On April 12th, 1980, Canadian Terry Fox began his run across Canada to raise funds for cancer. Terry Fox had his leg amputated as a result of having osteosarcoma, a form of cancer that often starts near the knees. He ran a marathon per day on one leg and a 1980s-era full-leg prosthesis. But during the run, the cancer spread to his lungs, and he was forced to stop after 143 days at 3,339 miles, which is 5,373 kilometers. And he did die the next year in June at the age of 22. So many of you know all about Terry Fox or have heard something about him, but he was a pretty amazing guy. And that's probably something I should have a whole show about. There's a movie about him, which I believe I have seen. I should watch it again and get some more info and talk about Terry Fox. But a pretty amazing guy. One of the original people to do a run or something like that to raise money. And that's why he did it. He was raising funds for cancer because he thought in Canada they just didn't devote enough money to cancer research. So great guy, Terry Fox. He was only 20, 21 when he tried to run across Canada with one leg, and he ran a marathon a day. He couldn't even run properly. He had to kind of skip. So that's it for the show. I would like to thank my donors for this show, including Michael Butler of the Rock and Roll Geek Show. Michael Butler is my inspiration for this podcast. You will probably, if you were to listen to his podcast, you might hear the similarities. If you like classic rock and roll, 70s type rock and roll, you should listen to his show. And it's not all 70s rock and roll. In fact, most of it's newer rock and roll, but it has that 70s or sound, maybe some punk rock sound, stuff like that. So he's a pretty interesting guy. So that's the Rock and Roll Geek Show. Also, thanks to Dave Jackson at the School of Podcasting, who's the one teaching me about podcasting. And also donors Eleanor Adams, Jack Johnstone, and Dan Shanahan. Thank you for your donations. And that's it for today's show. Again, you can find more about me at runsmith.net. and have a great day.